I don't normally do this, but I want to do it today. I have quit singing for quite some time, but I need to sing this morning. Amen? Amen. So I brought my music machine. Most of you that are here on Wednesday night know about my music machine, but not many other people do, but I brought that today. And on this chorus, if you know this song, I want you to sing along with me, okay? You ready, brother? Music machine, don't you? Yeah. Thank you, Cher. I want to look at three scriptures, and I want you to look with me. I want you to turn first to Matthew chapter 9. And I'll try to read slow, Christy.
That's going to be up on the page. All right. Yeah, maybe. I don't
see. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to begin with verse 20. Then we're going to Luke. And then we're going to Mark. better be careful with that one, huh? I went to get a water, but there's no water. So we'll remedy that today. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and put a bookmark there, because we're going to look at a couple of verses in that in just a minute. Starting with verse 42, the last half. We'll wait a minute and let you get there. Luke 8, starting with the last half of verse 42. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. In verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. One more passage, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and one verse, verse 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this precious day. I thank you that we're here to be touched by your Spirit, to be ministered to leave here different than what we came. Lord, we give you praise that you're our Lord, you're our Savior. You've done so much for us. Your blessings and benefits are without measure. The miracles we talked about today, what precious, precious miracles. Lord, you did that. It wasn't power within us, but it was your Spirit that brought healing miracles last week. Jesus, I just ask you to open our spirits, make us pliable to your word, plant a seed deep, and we bind Satan from robbing it. He can't take it away from us. Lord, use me as your vessel. Speak through me, Jesus. And I give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I feel strongly that you and I should focus our attention this morning on the subject of faith, specifically faith and healing. Faith and healing. And the development of faith that releases that supernatural healing. Amen? I want to read you a couple other scriptures. Psalm chapter 103, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read these. Verse 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Amen? Amen. Psalm 107, verse 19 through verse 21, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to tell your neighbor, "I'm getting healed today." Allow me to ask you a simple question. Does your faith remove your mountains, or do your mountains remove your faith? Does your faith remove your mountains, or does your mountains remove your faith? It was F.B. Meyer who said, "It is unbelief that puts our circumstances between us and God." Is unbelief that puts our circumstances between us and God. So that statement declares to us that our lack of faith puts our circumstances or our sicknesses between us and God. However, it is our faith that puts God between us and our circumstances. It is our faith. So let's see this morning what faith can accomplish when it is biblically applied faith. Faith that is placed in the healer, Jesus Christ. Now, may I remind you that we're not saved by faith plus works, but we are saved by a faith that does work. Amen? A faith that does work. Now, there's a principle we need to keep in mind as we go along here. It's essential to understand this principle right away. Don't let this escape, folks. I want you to plant this in your mind and in your heart. What's the principle? Simple. Faith changes us, not God. Faith changes us, not God. You see, sometimes we may think that if we can muster up enough faith, it will change the heart of God. God's always the same. His love toward you is always the same. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He is the source. His resources never change. His mercy never fades. His power does not diminish. Therefore, it's not God who needs to change. It's our faith that allows our never-changing God to loose his resources on our behalf. Amen? Our position is to get into a state of expectancy and anticipation so that God can flow in us and through us. Listen, folks, God is our source. God is our source, and his supplies do not run out. Amen. They do not run out. God is not bankrupt. He is not in a state of depression. He's ready this morning to meet every need of every person. Amen? Amen. It doesn't matter how humongous your mountain seems as it stands between you and God. God is bigger than that mountain. Amen. God is bigger. He has already won the battle. He has obtained the victory. Everything has been purchased for you. It's available today. Come on and shout praise the Lord with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice several things with me about this precious lady from our scripture reading this morning, because she really speaks to me. I want her to speak to you. Amen? Amen. This woman is an encouragement to my heart. You know, I always say, or I say many times, I don't want to play church. I don't want to play church. I don't want to just go through the motions. In other words, I want to lift my heart toward God, before God, and say, Jesus, we have a need that only you can meet. Yes. We're here this morning. We have a need, and only you can meet it, Lord. Amen? And by faith, I want to see his miracle-working power fill this place.
Ooh, yes.
Amen. So let's look at this lady's story. Let's look at this lady's story. Amen. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down some things. First of all, I want you to notice the determination of this lady's faith. Write down determination. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8 and look at verse 47 and 48. We're looking at the determination of this lady's faith. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus is on his way to restore the health of a 12-year-old girl. And as he goes, a great number of people were following him. Of course, some may have been thrill seekers, wondering what a fantastic miracle he was going to do that day. Perhaps there were those in the crowd who hadn't seen Jesus before, and they were just there to see if he actually could perform a miracle. But there was one in that great crowd following Jesus who was not there to see what Jesus would do for someone else, as wonderful as that might be. But she was seeking Jesus to see what he would do for her. For her. Jesus is elated when you seek him for your personal needs. It's not selfish. Nor is it wrong. What really glorifies God and really connects with his heart is when you cry out, God, I need you to pour your spirit into my life. Amen. Amen. I am needy. I am desperate for you. He loves that, folks. He loves that. When we get personal with God, God begins to move in us in a very special way. Yes. Now, I don't believe for a moment that this woman was the only person in that crowd who had a need. There were probably many representing a lot of different kinds of needs. And I'm not naive enough to believe she was the only one who was sick in that throng of believers. But this lady was the only one that we have record of who had faith enough to do something about her situation, the only one with faith enough to let this problem bring her to Jesus. Yes. Amen. Now, I'm reminded of a man who was visiting a lady who was bedridden in the hospital. She had some sort of crippling accident. And this lady, though she was confined to bed, had learned how to appropriate the peace of God during her struggle. So consequently, she witnessed to everyone who came to visit her. This man, seeing this poor woman's bedridden condition, he couldn't help but remark, tragedy sure colors life, doesn't it? She paused for a minute, and then she looked at him with a smile, And she said, yes, it does. But by the grace of God, I have decided I will choose the colors. My friends, that's the attitude where faith resides. That's the attitude where faith resides. She typifies Our Lady with the issue of blood, who had determined to use her faith. Now, back to our text. It's hard to imagine, however, as we read about this woman's situation, how she was able to have any faith at all. Think about her condition. 12 years she'd been bleeding. Perhaps she had cancer. She constantly and continually for 12 years had a hemorrhaging discharge. Do you know how they treated people who were suffering in this way? You can go back to the Levitical law where there in Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 through 27, you'll find anyone who was afflicted with a condition like this woman was absolutely excluded from any type of communication or interaction with society. They were treated as outcasts. They were unclean. Unclean. Unclean folks were not even permitted to worship in the temple. You couldn't sit down to a meal with others, not even their family. You were literally kept out of society physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. And so for 12 years, this poor woman had been suffering with this condition. Most likely, she had been under the care of multiple physicians, exhausting all her resources and continuing to grow worse. I admire this lady because I might have gotten to the point where I said, enough is enough. Amen? But this woman was not about to quit. Over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus announced to us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Think about this. What is Jesus saying? The way this was written in the Greek, he is saying, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Jesus encourages us in our prayer life, in our relationship with him, to be determined to find an answer as we use our faith. Determined to find that answer. This lady was not about to sit in a corner. She was determined to find her answer. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I know some of you have come here this morning ready to quit hoping for relief from your illness. You believe that your particular condition is too complicated to resolve, or you've had it too long. Some of you might have given up. You have embraced the notion that you will have to stay sick, because your problem is insurmountable. I want to challenge you to have enough determination and unwavering faith to shout, God, I will not quit. God, I will not quit. I will hang on because I believe you're bigger than any circumstance, capable of doing beyond what I could ever ask or think. And though I do not know how, I believe, Heavenly Father, that you have the answer and you have the resources to bring that answer to fruition. Amen? Will you follow this lady's example of faith and be determined to trust that your healing is on the way? Amen. All right, number two, in addition to her determination, this ill woman put direction to her faith. Write down direction. Termination, direction. Faith alone was not enough. This lady, like many of us, had faith. But her faith had not been previously directed to the right source. I run into people all the time that seem to have a great deal of faith. They maintain good thoughts about life. They have the right attitudes toward living. But they're not directed to the source of life. So faith alone is not enough, even when we are determined. You must have the proper direction for your faith, or your determination to do something can actually take you away from God. We've all heard stories, I'm sure, of mountain climbers getting lost on mountains in snowstorms. What I understand, this story I'm going to share with you is true. It actually happened. A group of mountain climbers perished in a snowstorm high on a mountaintop because they became disoriented. Trying to get out of the storm, they had mistakenly walked around the mountain over and over again. After their bodies were found, the searchers determined that those rugged mountaineers had walked much further around the mountain than it would have taken them to go down the mountain and reach safety. Although they were determined to get off that mountain, they were improperly directed. You can have faith with determination, but your faith still needs to be directed to the proper source. Amen. Scripture tells us that this woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus. So she became determined to find out for herself. What directed her to Jesus? How do you and I get the right direction? The answer's there. First, her faith in others was shattered. People had failed her. She had been to the doctors. She had sought all kinds of advice. And even though all that may be good and acceptable, we must understand that God's wisdom is far greater. It transcends anything that mere mortals can understand. And then, what about her resources? They were gone. She'd spent everything she had. And her time, it was running out. She kept getting worse. Many of us have been there. Many of us have been there. You seek good counsel. You listen to everybody's advice. You spend all you have, and things keep getting worse. May I encourage you this morning that, like this lady, your bitterest hour can become your most blessed hour. Yes. Your bitterest hour can become your most blessed hour. Yes, because when it's all said and done, brothers and sisters, when we're at our wits' end, then our faith can be directed toward the real blessing we have hoped for. Understand, saints, that operating in your own strength and using all your resources is not the way God would prefer it. He wants us to come to Him right away, first. First. But regardless of what we do, God continues to keep His arms open wide. But when we come to that bitter, frustrated point of no return in our lives, we'll do one of two things. We'll either discard our faith and give up, or we'll direct our faith and look up. Amen? This woman finally chose to direct her faith toward Jesus. There are a lot of people who have faith today, but what's important is their direction of faith. So keep in mind, our faith must have determination and direction. Amen? Amen. Number three. Next, I want you to notice the decision of this lady's faith. Write down decision. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him, right in the middle of the crowd, and touched His cloak. Her faith prompted her to get through the mass of people so she could touch his cloak, because it was Jesus who had all the resources necessary to meet her need. And the word says, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from suffering. So a decision about faith begins with knowledge. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Remember what the Bible says? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Then faith grows by using an inward reflection that leads to a decision. She thought this through. She reasoned within herself. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. The development of your faith is very important. Very important. So it's determination, it's direction, and it's a decision. It's a decision. But one more thing, just one more thing. I want to look at the declaration of this woman's faith. The declaration of this woman's faith. So write down declaration. I have to smile when I read this story, because what's happening here, this lady is trying to steal a miracle. She's trying to steal a miracle. She didn't want anyone to know what she was doing. In fact, she was thinking, if I can sneak up and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed, and then I can get lost in the crowd again. First of all, the lady probably didn't want to bother Jesus. But more importantly, she didn't want to draw attention to herself. However, Jesus stopped right in the middle of the road, knowing that power had been released from him, and then he asked, "Who touched me?" There are two very important reasons why Jesus did what he did. First, he wanted her to declare her faith. To declare her faith. Because she's still operating with an ignorant faith. This woman thought she could receive a miracle from Jesus without Jesus even knowing about it. But you can be very sure when your need is met, it's not because Jesus is unaware. He is aware. He loves you and he's waiting for you. Obviously, the sick woman figured she could have her need met by God without the knowledge of God. So Jesus stopped the crowd. He focused on this woman because he wanted to develop an ongoing relationship with her in addition to meeting her immediate need. Listen, folks, he's not just a God for crisis. Amen. He's not just a God for crisis. He's a God for each moment. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, God pursued them in the garden. He went looking for them. Amen? God is pursuing you. Why? Because he loves you. It's his heart's desire to maintain a relationship with you. Because no one ever cared for you but Jesus. We don't mean to ignore him, but sometimes we only pray in the midnight hour. Sometimes we pray when we don't see any other way, because we have exhausted our earthly resources. Oh, that we would learn to abide in him. Abide in him every day. Every day. Listen, folks, we will never experience anything phenomenal like a miraculous healing unless we're prepared to put something of ourselves and our very life and soul into it. Jesus wasn't as interested in healing this lady as he was about meeting this lady. Jesus wanted to find out who she was so he could help her recognize the ignorance of her faith. The undeniable truth was that this ailing woman didn't really touch Jesus. He touched her. He touched her, and with purpose. It was not an accident. Jesus wanted her to remember him, not just the fact that she had been healed. It was vital that she remember him. So he turned his attention away from the crowd to personally address her, to stop and take time to talk. Hello, how are you? Your faith is important. You are important. God bless you. I find this next fact of great interest. Notice that Jesus stopped everyone that was with him. The whole crowd stopped. With his one reaction, Jesus caused the clamor and the pushing and the busyness of the crowd to cease. Can you hear a hush fall over the people as he suddenly stops and whirls around to catch the glimpse of someone? It is undeniable that Jesus wanted this lady to be healed. Undeniable. But he also wanted the entire crowd to be touched with Jesus' power to heal. There were people gathered that day who also had needs, and he knew all about them. Jesus wanted everyone to know that he was just a step away. If they hadn't seen this lady's faith and the healing that resulted, think what would have happened if faith began to move through that crowd. Think what would have happened if faith began to move through that crowd. If they all began to trust the Lord, folks. Wow. I believe it's imperative to declare your faith publicly, to share with others what Jesus has done for you. For you. It may be that you will become the very source of inspiration that someone else needs to take their first step toward God. Faith that brings us to Jesus and causes us a positive response from us is sufficient faith to meet our needs. That's why Jesus said, "Whoever will confess me before men, him I will confess before the Father who is in heaven." This woman began as a nobody in the crowd, but when she touched Jesus, she became a somebody. Then when her faith was publicly declared, she became a witness so that everyone who heard her was encouraged. I'm sure it never occurred to this lady that by bringing her need to Jesus and then surrendering that need to him, that the faith of many other people would be strengthened. Her willingness to act made a difference, folks. Her willingness to act made a difference. But that's how the Lord works, isn't it? Saints, consider this unnamed woman in Scripture and remember her for showing us that the determination of her faith, the direction of her faith, the decision of her faith, and then finally the declaration of her faith. Remember her for showing us those things. I want to pray with you this morning specifically for any healing needs that we have, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And as you come for your healing, I want you to use these faith directives. I want you to have determination in your faith. I want you to have direction in your faith. your decision in your faith and a declaration in your faith. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Just one touch as he moves along, pushed and pressed by the jostling throng. Just one touch and the weak are strong, cured by the healer divine. Just one touch and he makes me whole. Speak sweet peace to my sin-sick soul. At his feet all my burdens roll, cured by the healer divine. Just one touch and he turns to me. Oh, the love in his eyes I see. I am his, for he hears my plea, cured by the healer divine. Just one touch as he passes by, he will listen to the faintest cry. Be restored while the Lord is nigh. Christ is the healer divine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. If you need a healing this morning, folks, I want you to come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Lee, maybe you could put on some quiet music and we'll pray. Those of you that don't need a healing, you're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. We had more room in the other church, didn't we?